So St. Paul, in today's second reading, is referring to a great mystery that had been hidden from the centuries. And that mystery is that we, Gentiles, non-Jews, would one day worship God. The Jews, the Jewish people, of course, are the first to be elect. God called them, starting way back with Abraham, who then had his sons, and his final son, Jacob, gave birth to 12 sons, each of which became patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. Going through history, and of course, we heard in the genealogy during Advent, the genealogy of Jesus comes from these people, the Jewish people. The Savior is born of them. They gave us the Savior. Tremendous gift to the whole world. And now we come here and worship Him. We worship the same God, now revealing Himself fully and totally in Jesus Christ. And Paul is just like, as a Jewish man who had been so devout in following the Jewish faith, he marvels at this mystery and delights in it and becomes the great apostle to the Gentiles, celebrating that God is revealing this mystery now, that all are welcome to come and to worship Jesus Christ, and in doing so, worshiping the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this is new. Now, one of the things we notice in the gospel is Herod has some very harmful intentions for the child. These three non-Jews come into Jerusalem. They're following a star. They're looking for the king of the Jews that is revealed to them in their various arts or whatever it was that they practiced back then as non-Jewish people. And they're following this star, and they're trying to navigate and find this king, this Jewish king, that Herod takes to be a rival to his own kingship. So he wants to destroy this child so as to not have any rival. You see, Herod was a Jew. King Herod was a Jew who had very closely coupled himself with the Roman Empire, became a puppet of the Roman Empire in such a way that they would permit him to become a king in Jerusalem, knowing that he would be more faithful to the Romans than to his own nation, because the Romans wouldn't just give authority like that to just anybody. They had to know that he was going to support their cause. And so Herod was a Jew, and when he heard that there was another king of the Jews, this can't be. I can't have a fellow Jewish person rivaling me with the Romans for power in this region. I've got to destroy him. But as we find out, of course, the three magi, they didn't know that his intentions were evil. He said, I'll go and do homage. But an angel appeared to them and said, Herod has bad intentions for the child. Don't go back by the way you came. God is protecting the child. And then, of course, another one of his messengers goes to Joseph and says, Joseph, I hate to tell you this, but guess what? You got to go to Egypt. And we don't have planes yet, so grab Mary, get on a donkey. Good luck. I'm with you. You got to go to Egypt. And that's what he does. And the child is kept safe, because God is protecting the child. Now, later on, the father could have done this endlessly, keeping Jesus safe. He could have done that. But as we know, when every time we look at the cross, the hour came, the hour. Jesus himself spoke about the hour. The hour came when the Jewish leaders, once again caught up to Jesus in Jerusalem, demanding that he be crucified as a blasphemer. And they went so far as to even declare their allegiance to Caesar. And Pilate, if you don't crucify this man, you're no friend of Caesar, because he set himself up as a rival king in the empire of the great Romans. So they were blackmailing Pilate to secure the death of one of their own, a Jew. And of course, they secured it. But of course, as we also believe, he came back in spades, resurrected, without even a trace of death in him, and his glorified humanity. And he sits now on the throne, and no one can remove him from that throne. He is ruler of the world. I mean, there have been despots all through the history of the world. Most recently, I think the greatest shot at it was Adolf Hitler. He wanted to unseat Jesus and take over, and I'm going to rule the world. It's impossible. We haven't the power to remove him from his throne. And in fact, what happened to Adolf Hitler was what Jesus said would happen. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his life in the process? He committed suicide. We can't remove Jesus from his throne. No one can. The Pope can't. I can't. Hitler couldn't. No one can. But people keep trying. And they fail. But in the process of failing, a lot of people get hurt. A lot of people die, which we also saw with Hitler. Because Jesus doesn't rule like that. But I want you to hear that. No one can remove him from his throne, which means at the very end, he's still going to be on his throne, and he is the judge of the world in the end. No one else. That's never going to change, ever. Which means the rules aren't changing either, no matter who tells you otherwise. This is our faith, and it's the truth. Now, why am I going through all of this? Well, I think it's important for us to recognize that the greatest enemies of Jesus came from within his own household of faith, the Jews. Here's Herod, even at his birth, out to destroy the child. And at the end of his life, when the hour came and our Father did permit them to have their way with Jesus, it was the Jewish leaders that pressed for his death. It was the Jewish leaders who had the trial that brought him then before Pilate, blackmailing him to get his death. That's coming from within Jesus' own family of faith. And I'm here to tell you that our circumstances are similar today. We have some people that are selling out the Catholic faith to the secular state for the advancement of their career or for whatever reason. I'm not here to evaluate all their politics. I'm here to speak to you about people we're not meant to imitate, who abandon their faith for the sake of advancing themselves politically, socially, economically, powerfully in this world. Because Jesus is still on the throne and cannot be removed. And these men and women will come up for final judgment from him. For my part, I'd like to at least strive to be on the right side of history when that day comes, and that's with Jesus, seeking to stay the course. And we have the good news that our Father is all about preserving his Son in our lives. He does it here today. He makes sure that the Magi go for another route to keep the child safe. He wants the child alive. We have Joseph, we have Mary, looking after the child, growing it in wisdom and in grace. They're on our side too. We have all the saints in festal gathering. They're looking out for us. Your favorite saint who has befriended you, he or she is looking out for you. We have a lot of support. No matter how powerful some people become, and even if they're from within the household of our faith, the Catholic Church, we need to stay the course of our faith. Now, I think one name definitely comes to my mind of someone who has not such a good track record for practicing his faith in the public, and that's Joe Biden. I'm not here to evaluate his politics. I'm not here to get involved in your politics. I'm talking about the practice of the faith. He's no one to imitate. Abandoning your faith for the sake of the promotion of yourself and your own advancement in this world, that's nothing to imitate. We have to be careful. If you do want a politician to imitate, how about Governor DeWine of the state of Ohio, who just last week declared that human life begins, at least in the state of Ohio, from conception. Governor DeWine is a very devout Catholic, daily communicant, and he steps up and he says, "All right, look, if we're going to have this legalized, I'd like you to know what you're doing. Human life begins at conception. We can scientifically document it. We've studied it. We've got the films to prove it. We can tell you when the heart starts beating, when the nervous system is intact, when they start moving and become alive. That's a human being. Thank you, Governor DeWine." Anyone care to imitate that? I'm sure he's got a lot of pushback, but he did it. Thank you, Governor DeWine. And I think if we look around, right here in this church, there's people that are, they're putting it out, they're stepping it out every day. But there's not one of us here who isn't feeling the pressure. And there isn't one of us here that isn't united in Christ, who's feeling the pressure, as we all undergo the same trials. But we have Jesus, and it makes all the difference in the world. And we have the Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph. In this year of Saint Joseph, call upon him. We have the help, and that's what they're here to do, to help us stay the course of our discipleship in Christ, not following the crowd, even as it comes to us from within our own house of the faith. So be encouraged and trust. The Catholic Church, I'd like to compare it to a dirty bar of soap. But you don't throw out a dirty bar of soap. It'll still clean you. You just have to hold on to it. None of us would do that, I think. A dirty bar of soap still can be very effective as an agent for cleansing. And that's the truth about the Catholic Church. So we need to stay the course of our Catholic faith, recognizing that that's the great mystery that St. Paul was so excited about, that now God has turned to open up a path to himself for everyone in the whole world, not just the Jewish believer, but all of us. So come, let us adore him. Now, to help us do that, I've been instructed that one of the things we're going to do in the parish this weekend, and I'm going to do it here, I'm going to renew the parish's dedication and consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I'll read this, and it's supposed to be on behalf of all of us. Queen of heaven and earth and our tender mother, in accordance with your ardent wish made known at Fatima and in union with Pope Francis, consecration to you of himself, his papacy, and the church, I now consecrate to your immaculate heart myself and this entire parish of St. Andrew's Catholic Church, entrusted to my care. I consecrate and commit to you all the members of this parish, beginning with the weakest, the unborn, the sick, the disabled, and the elderly. I commit to you our families, our children, our young people, the single, the widowed. I pray especially for the dysfunctional, hurt, and broken families, for those seeking meaning in life but failing to find it, for the unemployed, the lonely, and the desperate. I pray for those who are away from this parish and are distant from the church. Holy Mother, by your powerful intercession, obtain for us all the graces we need, and call down the Holy Spirit, your spouse, to heal and sustain us, to lead and conform us to the image of your Son. As your priestly servant here at St. Andrew's Catholic Church, I speak for all of us here in my one voice for the many. We, the parishioners of St. Andrew Catholic Parish and School, renew and ratify today in your hands, O Immaculate Mother, the vows of our baptism. We renounce forever Satan, the devil, and all his works and all his empty promises. We give ourselves entirely to Jesus Christ to be more faithful to him than we have ever been before. In the presence of all the heavenly hosts, we choose you this day of the Epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ for our Mother, dear Mary. We deliver and consecrate to you our bodies and our souls, our goods, both interior and exterior, and even the value of all our good actions, past, present, and future, that you will dispose of them as you know best, for the greater of glory of God in time and in eternity. And all the people said, Amen.